This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment on the system of divine metaphysics. It is suggested that you listen to the 2-minute introduction video. The link is right next to the link for this recording. This is plank number 3 of 32 of the platform. The dominating synonymous term for God, plank number 3, is synonymous term number 2 in the order of spiritual development, which is spirit, and this is really the opposite of that one, for this one is a focus on evil obsolete. Even though this is an extemporaneous prayer treatment, it seems natural to begin with the 3 introductory quotes of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus. 2. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3. Thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. The definition of God specifies that God is incorporeal. No ears, no eyes, nothing that is deemed to be a material sense. For everything about God is based on the substance, which is spirit. So therefore, the seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste is all utilizing spiritual senses and not a set of material-based organs. Since the Bible indicates that we should pray without ceasing, let's think about how we can do this on this plank number 3. And the only way that comes to thought about how that can be done is to live the prayer. We don't want to waste our time trying to plead to God, although that does indicate a positive quality of having faith that there is some power that is higher than ourselves and is higher than anything that is materialistic. And when I say higher than ourselves, I'm talking about higher than a mortal self. For as Genesis states, on a spiritual basis, we are the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we are exactly like God, except in quantity. For God is all, whereas we are only a single individual reflection, a single manifestation. And each one of us are unique, but each one of us do reflect or have the certain ability and capacity and faculty to reflect each of the qualities of God. And we know there's at least 350, because Mary Baker Eddy assigned 7 to God, which are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And there's approximately 50 different terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses to describe each one of those 7 terms. So we know we're dealing with approximately 350 as a minimum. And one could really take the entire dictionary of the American English language and divide it up into either a term that describes one of those 7 or the opposite of one of those terms. So really, there's hundreds of thousands of terms to describe the 7, either as a positive or the opposite of it. So we don't have any lack of possibilities on how to describe God, as long as we're accurate and we're conscientious of what those 7 terms mean. One of the best ways is to discover that is to read the book called Your Divinity Revealed by the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, Helen Wright. She has 7 chapters in that book. Chapter 4 is for mind, chapter 5 is for spirit, and so forth up through chapter 10. We recommend that that text be studied from beginning to end at least once, and then to repeat on a continuous basis the chapters 4 through 10, which are a focus on each of the 7. Everything written in that book is from the textbook Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She authored that book at the end of her long career of some 100 years, and therefore she was at the peak of her excellence in understanding exactly what Christian Science is all about and the system of divine metaphysics. That book, along with the textbook and Mary Baker Eddy's other writings, are one of the few that rank as the most valuable of all the books that we have on our website. And we have books from 100 authors. There are other ones that are equally fine, but it is among the group of the best of the best. The most advanced text on the system of divine metaphysics is by Rolf Witzke, and he is a primary author on the website as well. Keeping in mind that we want to be searching for the truth, and that our thoughts are going to project our experience, and that we will be blessed if we follow the laws of God, which is basically a quick summary of those 3 introductory quotes, let's pursue the original text by Mary Baker Eddy in prose form, which is how it is written in the textbook. And this begins on page 330. And between 330 and 340 of the textbook are all 32 planks in their full text detail. The title, as already noted, focuses on 2 words, which is evil obsolete. Now the word that precedes that in the title is really the category, and that comes under the second synonymous term as noted, which is spirit. So when we think about evil, we want to think about spirit, because spirit is the reality of which evil is the unreality. Also, we want to make sure that we take very seriously what Jesus did and Mary Baker Eddy did, and is clear in the writings of both of them, and that is to never, ever associate an individual with the evil that it may appear that they are involved in, whether it's thought, speech, or action. We cannot cure the evil if we include a personality associated with it. There must be a clear delineation between an individual and any possible evil, and also good, because good doesn't come from a personality. Good comes from God. Mary Baker Eddy says, "The good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable." So it's the action that is the good, just like the evil is an action. It is not the individual at work. It is outside of the individual. We must not assign a personality to either evil or good, for it all comes from one source, and that's God. And God, which is the source of everything, includes God's manifestation. If the manifestation was not included with the source all in one unity, then that means that God could be depleted. In other words, it's not possible to separate the manifestation of God from the source. We have to think of it as a unit. And of course, we must think of it only in the true, real terms and not its opposite. 8.3 billion people is an estimated count. Every single one is an idea of God, a spiritual idea of God. The definition of man on page 591 states that man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full manifestation or representation of mind. That means every quality of mind is ours to reflect. And there's approximately 50 of them. With mind, I believe there's 61. 61 different terms. Every single one of those, and anything that could be a derivative of those, which is probably another 75 or 100,000, could be attributed to mind. Anything that is mental is mind. Anything that is substance is spirit. Anything that is a sense for identification is soul. Anything that is a structure that is balanced and harmonious is principle. Anything that is activity of the spiritual term for God is life. Anything that is a reflection of life is truth. And anything that is a complete, nurtured fulfillment of the first sex is love. A mother represents love. A mother represents nurturing, bringing everything to fulfillment, meeting whatever the situation is at that level, and then making sure that after any evil is exposed and eradicated, then the fulfillment, the wholeness, the completeness automatically becomes visible in symbols. Everything about God is in symbols. We cannot understand God unless we understand the symbols that are expressing God, because God is invisible. Remember, God is incorporeal. And the rest of that definition is that individual and then divine, which means perfection, and then supreme, which means there's no competition, and then infinite, which means there's no limit. If we want an idea for an important project, should we think it through ourselves, or should we go to God first? One of the terms that expresses God is knowing. God is omniscient. That means that God is omni-intelligent, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom. If we have a problem that occurs, where do we go? We go to the system of divine metaphysics, and we go to the four levels of the system of divine metaphysics, and we go to the four operators of the system of divine metaphysics. These features and their functions are clearly covered on the website. In essence, the operators are similar to the operators of mathematics, which are add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And the levels are similar to mathematics. The basic level is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The next level up might be considered the exponents. In other words, we eliminate the individual tables and we go directly to the product of the tables. For example, 3 times 3 is in the table, but 3 cubed automatically is an exponent expressed by just the number 3, and that is 3 times 3 times 3. So it's 3 to the power of 3. And briefly, the operators for the system of divine metaphysics is the Word, which is all the facts about God, the Christ, which is translating whatever is visible to its true spiritual form, and Christianity, which is proving that we understand 1 and 2, and therefore we're able to demonstrate, which means heal, and number 4, means we are at the ascension level where everything is automatically seen as perfect. And that's where Jesus saw the perfect man, even though the worst possible thing may be presented. He always separated the evil from the individual. He never discussed personalities. Even when he overthrew the money changers, he didn't talk about the money changers. He talked about the evil, which was the table full of money, where they were trying to benefit and capitalize on the ones that were trying to attend church to become a more spiritual individual and be inspired, and they wanted to collect money out of the deal. Jesus eliminated the evil. He didn't touch the individuals. If you think about separating it, realize that evil is the action, and the individual is only letting themselves be used as an object. We go after the subject, not the object. Because the object can always be replaced with just another individual, and that doesn't get rid of the evil. Now, the four levels of System of Divine Metaphysics, the lowest level is depravity. The second level up is morality. The third level is spiritual. And the fourth is immortal and perfect, which is God, idea, and man. The spiritual man, the image and likeness of God. The one that is described in Genesis in verse 26 and 27. And also, further down in the verses, it shows that God gave man dominion over everything. And then it says that everything that God did was very good. And good is defined in the glossary as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. So we cannot have an accident if we have embedded in our consciousness that the only action that is real is the action of God. For he is omni-action, one, only, and all. If we happen to observe an accident or the effect of an accident after it's already done, we have an opportunity to apply this truth about God being the only action to the event and everyone involved. We have to lift our thought so we can only see spiritual man, which could never be involved in an accident. And we can only see the source of man as being God, which is perfect. And since God is perfect, his image is perfect. Therefore, not a single individual that appears to be involved in a discord such as that of any kind or out of balance cannot be. It just cannot be. And we have to claim the truth, deny the evil, and stick with it until our thought is purified, till our thought is pure of any blemish about what our so-called mortal eyes may have observed. We have to shut it out. Just like Wentworth Winslow says, imagine being in a room and there's a telephone that's ringing its head off, and then there's a radio that is only announcing the qualities of God. In this day and age, that would be the internet, probably. Or a cell phone. A website, such as ours, which is announcing the good things about God and man and the relationship thereto. That must be our focus. We must have a model that we can refer to instantly whenever there's any temptation to absorb something that is not good. We're barraged constantly with suggestions of evil, but we must not give it a home. Don't pick up the phone and listen to evil try to give us its woe and its bleeding desire to have a home, a residence. Because if we let evil get the foot in the door, we're finished. It'll keep coming and keep coming. And the more we ignore it, the faster it grows, until it totally consumes all thought, speech, and action. We have to nip it in the bud before it can mature one iota. That is called watching. Mary Baker Eddy says we must bar our door of thought against thieves and murderers. And that's what evil thoughts are. Thieves and murderers. We don't need any. We don't want any. And we will refuse any and all that try to present themselves as an innocent bystander that just needs a little hand up or a hand out. Don't take it. Don't connect. Connect only to the source of media that is announcing the qualities of God. Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every hour to remind herself that she must only focus on good for every event and every individual, and not let anything lower the standard. Following is the text in prose format for this plank number 32, which is a focus on spirit, or really its opposite of spirit, which is evil, and declaring and knowing that it is obsolete, has no validity, because we have now risen above that concept. Plank number 1 saying that deity is supreme, and plank number 2 saying that deity and giving the definitions. So once we have the definitions and we know that it's supreme, then we're ready to dig in to the bottom of any evil, dig it out by the roots, expose it, let it destroy itself, which happens with probably 60 or 70 or 80% of it. And then we go in with our high-powered vacuum cleaner and clean up the mess. Finish it off. Bring it to total annihilation. On plank number 3 of 32, evil obsolete. The notion that both evil and good are real is a delusion of material sense, which science annihilates. Evil is nothing. No thing, mind, nor power, as manifested by mankind, it stands for a lie, nothing claiming to be something. For lust, dishonesty, selfishness, envy, hypocrisy, slander, hate, theft, adultery, murder, dementia, insanity, inanity, devil, hell, with all the et cetera's that word includes. For clarity, I shall recite exactly the same text divided into numbered key points. Again, the title is Focus on the Opposite of Spirit, which is evil, and the title is Evil Obsolete. And the reason we can justify that evil is obsolete, because we've already covered the topic of God being deific supremacy and the definitions of God. So now we're able to go down and get to the root of the problem, so that it can be exposed and eradicated. Key point number one. The notion that both evil and good are real is a delusion of material sense which science annihilates. And that science is a capital S. Number two, evil is nothing, no thing, mind, nor power. Three, as manifested by mankind, it stands for a lie, nothing claiming to be something. Four, for lust, dishonesty, selfishness, envy, hypocrisy, slander, hate, theft, idolatry, murder, dementia, insanity, inanity, devil, hell, with all the et cetera's that word includes. Those are the five key points. Let's go back and look at each one a little more thoroughly. The second word is notion. The notion that both evil and good are real. So it is only a concept. There's no fact to it. It is only a proposal to consider. And what do we do with the phone that is ringing? We don't pick it up. We call it out immediately, saying that I'm not going to listen to any proposal of evil that is going to solicit me for a residence. I'm not giving it any time or space in my thought whatsoever. Jesus reminds us that whatever we think is the same as doing it. If we're going to let evil into our thought, it's the same as being evil ourselves in our thought, speech, and action. So it's only a notion. There's only one that is real. It says the notion that both evil and good are real is a delusion of what? Of matter, material sense, not spiritual, not the real soul, which is composed of spirit, and therefore spiritual senses, where everything we see is looking through the lens of spirit instead of matter. We do not want to bow down to a material sense. Otherwise, we're putting ourselves outside of the laws of the universe. And we cannot break the laws of the universe. We can break ourselves against the law, but the laws are permanent. They've always been in existence, and they govern everything that there is. When it says that science annihilates it, science annihilates the belief of material sense. And that's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. It's giving us the tools so we can distinguish easily between truth and error, real and unreal, mind, which is spiritual and immortal, and brain, which is made up of matter and cannot be relied upon. It's the difference between life and death, between truth and error, between love and hate. That is the difference between utilizing spiritual sense and material sense. So we can focus on the reality as opposed to its opposite. That means that we're going to live it. We're going to live it. We're not going to just spend a few minutes a week in a church or in prayer. We're going to live it in every thought, speech, and action. That is being the real image and likeness of God, where we are abiding by the laws of God all the time. Next, is the comments by John L. Sinton, who is a very proficiently advanced Christian Scientist. And he has these words about plank number three. As word reflects Christ, the dualism of good and evil is equally real. Christ is uncovered as a delusion of material sense. In other words, let me pause correctly in reading this. As word reflects Christ, the dualism of good and evil as equally real, Christ is uncovered as a delusion of material sense. In other words, these are not the real Christ. And Christ means our consciousness, because Christ means it is truth. So our real consciousness uncovers the fallacy of believing that both good and evil are real. And science annihilates that false belief. Subjectively, it is seen through as nothing, no thing, mind, nor power. And that's evil we're talking about. That's why she says evil is obsolete. Objectively, as manifested by mankind, it is as the text indicates, and as the marginal heading, which says obsolete, that evil is obsolete, affirms. To understand this adequately is to demonstrate it. And he refers to a reference in the book by Mary Baker Eddy called Unity of Good, pages 1 to 12. And he says that amplifies these propositions. And also in the book No and Yes, another book by Mary Baker Eddy, pages 15 to 17. Now here are John Sinton's key points broken into numbered paragraphs. 1. As word reflects Christ, the dualism of good and evil, as equally real, Christ is uncovered. In other words, both evil and good cannot be representing the real Christ, the real consciousness. It's a delusion of material sense to not understand the difference. 3, subjectively, it is seen through as nothing, no thing, mind, nor power. 4, objectively, as manifested by mankind, it is as the text indicates and as the marginal heading affirms, obsolete. Evil is obsolete. And the final one is 5. To understand this adequately is to demonstrate it. So in other words, the only way to prove that we understand something is to be able to have a healing that is based on our understanding of that particular idea. The overall key point seems to be that since we've already covered in plank 1 that God is supreme, and plank 2 we've looked at what God is by reviewing the definitions of God, then we're prepared to say evil has no founder. It has no source. It has no creator. Nothing can claim ownership of evil. Therefore, it's unreal. It's a delusion. Someone asked Kurt Russell in a talk show, what is the difference between your real life and the parts you play in the movies? He'd been an actor since he was a young boy, all through his adult life. And to this day, he's still listed as an active actor. His response, when I'm acting, it's fantasy land. Everything is unreal. Strictly entertainment. My life, that's what's real to me. That's who I really am. How about us? What is real about us? Are we going to deny evil the privilege of using our mouth, our ears, our sense of reason, our thinking, any actions we take? Are we going to give it the full 5 spiritual sense test to make sure that anything that comes to our attention is spiritual before we accept it, as opposed to all of the barrage of mortal mind suggestions that come to us through a brain? We have to distinguish. We have to clearly delineate between what is godlike and what is not. We must reject at the suggestion, at the source, anything that is not absolutely 100% pure godlike thought, speech, and action. And that applies to any individual, any event. Mary Baker Eddy, remember, hourly, she did self-examination to make sure that she was only giving credence to the spiritual, godlike, in all thought, speech, and action. Nothing else qualified. If any additional thought comes, which would just be maybe 1 or 2 minutes to add, it will follow a prayer by Mary Baker Eddy that will be recited now, and it's on the focus of spirit. She provided 7 of these prayers, 1 for spirit, 1 for mind, and so forth, each of the 7, to her most advanced class in 1898. And she recommended that they be recited frequently. She says, often. Declare often. She probably thought about these when she did her hourly self-exam, knowing that evil cannot get a foothold if we keep our thought pure with the truth about what is really in control of everything, which is God, and reflected by His manifestation, man. Here is the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy on the topic of truth. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God. And my God is spirit, individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. No other thought comes to mind at the present. So I shall close by stating that it is Sunday, May 31, 2026, at 11:12 in the morning, and the topic on this plank number 3 of 32 has a focus on the second synonymous term of spirit, exposing its opposite, which is evil. And the topic is evil obsolete. Thank you for listening. The end.